Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We're joined by the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. And the answer to that is no, I wasn't, because wow. I wasn't allowed to watch shows. I wasn't allowed to watch shows like that. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV, a lot of stuff. We had a lot of restrictions at my household.
Wait, were you allowed to eat sugared cereal?
That I was. Okay. It was more about what was going on, you know, the TV.
On the
I was allowed to watch sports, you know, and the Nintendo games. I only was allowed to have sports games, you know, so it was a lot of restrictions like that.
That's a funny restriction.
But I was allowed to eat the Lucky Charms and stuff like that, yes.
Yeah.
That is strict.
Only right. Sports games, though.
By the way, I love my parents.
That's great. By the way, Nick, I'll just as a quick aside, Seltzer. In here, who you talked to right before you came on the air. This is a true story. Unbelievably, was it your dad, James?
My dad, yes. So this is a true story.
Let him watch Basic Instinct at the age of 9.
I was so. 9, Nick, yes. I saw Terminator 2.
There's a difference.
I saw Terminator 2 in the theaters.
When I was 9.
Yeah, at 10. All right, so yeah, very different upbringing.
Crazy. All right, so Nick, congrats on the win. Congrats on 6-2 into the bye. Let's get into some of this here. So Jalen, last two games, I think clearly his two best of the season. He basically never turns the ball over. It strikes me like an MVP candidacy is being formed here. Do you feel that? I mean, I don't worry about MVP stuff after 2, 3, 4 games, but you get to halfway through the year, I think it's legitimate talk. Do you feel MVP candidacy for Jalen?
I think he's playing great football. I don't get wrapped up into that either, but I just get wrapped up into how we're playing and what we're doing and the things and how guys are being efficient. And I think Jalen's definitely that. I think Jalen has all the abilities and he wins of being an MVP type player, and we love having him on our football team, and he's playing good football right now.
The offense, it's been the last 2 weeks double the play action and almost 3 times the amount of plays under center, and the results have been so positive. Coach, why did it take until week 7 and 8 to get here?
You know, you're always looking for ways to continue to improve. We every time you go into a game, you're trying to find a way to win that game, and that doesn't mean moving forward it won't be, different there either. You know, we try to find ways to win games, try to find ways to continue to get better. We've had a lot of success, being in the gun for the past 4 years, mm-hmm. also. So, that's worked for us too. The main objective is to score points. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be explosive. We're trying to protect the football. Obviously this has worked for us the last couple of weeks. We'll continue to self-scout ourselves this week and figure out what the best plan is moving forward to try to put the players in positions to succeed. Obviously, though, like you said, you know, this has worked the last couple of weeks.
Sure. What was the difference with the run game? Why did that finally pop on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we've been, you know, I saw something that, you know, when we were looking at, you know, some stats from this week that we've had a bunch of 10-yard runs, but what we've had is some negative plays. I think we were able to eliminate some of the negatives. I think we only had one negative run in the game on Sunday. So we were able to eliminate some negatives, hit some explosives. You know, Kevin did a good job of, you know, calling some different things. You're able to do that when you're moving the ball and being efficient, and you're going to get more runs called. We got some more runs called because, you know, we were efficient throughout the game, not putting ourselves behind the sticks. And the guys did a really good job of executing at a very high level. You know, that's a good defensive front that was able to stop our run the last game. That's a really good defensive front. And our guys did a good job against a really good front, really good defense of you know, taking advantage of the things that they were giving us.
How much do the guys enjoy when you get extra heavy? You know, Fred Johnson gets in there, six offensive linemen. I know when we used to do that, guys would get pretty excited. Does this offensive line enjoy when they get extra husky?
Oh, you know they do. You know football. they you know they do. You know, I think Fred is holding out hope that we're going to throw him a pass. I told him that's probably not going to happen.
He is
too
a
much.
Tight end.
no, we'll make sure they stay honest on that stuff. You know, the defense stays honest, but yeah, they get excited because, you know, Fred stepped in and has made a lot of plays for us and given us a lot of good games and reps throughout his course of his time here. And, you know, it's always about putting your best 11 on the field for what you're trying to accomplish in that particular moment. So in some of those moments, you know, that's what we were trying to do, what we were, you know, how we were attacking, you know, and then there's moments that you want to put three receivers on the field and a fullback on the field. So it's everything calls for a little bit different. I know the guys get excited when Big 74 goes in there and reports, and you know, that's he's done a good job there to date and done a good job here as an Eagle.
Nick Sirianni with us, as he is every Tuesday. Nick, let's talk about the Cam Scataboo situation in that moment. So when something like that happens and the game stops for a couple minutes, this wasn't one of those 10 or 15 minute stoppages, but it stopped. What is it like for you as a head coach? There's the human side for a person and then all your people reacting to it. But then, you know, within 2 or 3 minutes, it's football time again. How do you balance the human and the almost insane of what pro football is and how you and the guys have to attack it?
Yeah, that's sports. You know, and that happens in every sport. I remember we were playing a basketball game one time when I was in high school, and a guy kind of got flipped over and knocked all his teeth out in the front of his mouth. And it's the same thing. It happens. It's just what happens in sports, and you hate it because, you know, that's one thing you always think about before the game, you know, pray about before the game, keep everybody on this field safe. And, you know, in that moment, you take a knee, you say a little prayer. At least that's what I do. And then you make sure everyone's in the right mindset to move forward. You know, we had something like that with in 22, I believe, with Josh Sweat too, if I recall. And you know, there's always distractions that you have to. Or ups and downs in a game that you have to recenter yourself and refocus. That's what you practice so much, is that mental toughness to be able to refocus regardless of what's going on in the game. But obviously, you know, prayers are up to Cam and his family, and because you never want to see anything like that happen. You know, I don't like looking at stuff like that. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
well,
you know, I got a really close look at it and then kind of had to turn my head away. And then just recentering and going back to work, because, you know, they don't stop it. They don't stop the game. So, but you never want to see anything like that. And I just thought, you know, really, really classy by our team, our fans, of, you know, giving them that support in a really tough moment. Because anyone knows that when you go through an injury in football, that is a, you know, I've been there, had a couple significant injuries, and, you know, and it's tough because, you know, that it's tough because you always want to be out there with your brothers, You always want to be out there playing and competing. You realize how much you miss it in those moments. And so having gone through that, and John, I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
You always feel for those guys and, hopefully for a speedy recovery for him.
Another guy who came back from injury and then finally got a chance to play this last week, Nakobe Dean. How well did he play, and how does he inspire his teammates, Coach?
Yeah. I think I don't remember if I talked about it on here last week or with somebody else. But, he made a play against the Vikings and really had a great knockback play, and you could just see the energy of everybody. He's a natural leader that guys naturally want to follow. And it's great having him back out there. It's great having a linebacker room that you have flexibility with that can play multiple spots because, him, Zach, Jihad, man, what a great group. And not to mention, Smile, who's been playing really good on special teams, excuse me. And also, Trot, who's been playing really well on special teams. And so what a great group that is. And great to have Nakobe back, have the flexibility to play all those guys. Because we're going to need them, and they give us a chance to win each week because of who they are and the players they are and the leaders they are. All those guys. I love how Zach Bond's obviously been. He's done such a great job as a leader as well. And then Jihad is just, man, energy at all times. This guy loves football. I love guys who love football. He loves football so much, and he does, and he's so committed to winning. And so committed to getting better. He works so hard. I love having him on the team, too.
Nick, what is going on with A.J. Brown? I know that's an open-ended question, but what is going on with him?
Obviously, I think what you're referring to is probably that, a couple weeks ago. That was a couple weeks ago. It's been business as usual. Really excited to get him back on the field. I've almost forgot about what happened a couple weeks ago, just working on ways to get better. I know he wants to do everything he can do to get back out there. We're excited to be able to get him back. You can only judge things off your interactions and how they are in the building. And AJ has been great in the building. In my interactions, I'm always in communication with all our guys, obviously AJ as well. And so, looking forward to when he can get back, and I know he wants to get back out there and help us win football games.
Are there lessons from last year's ultra-successful bye week that you can apply at this bye week?
I think, somebody asked me yesterday in the media, is this the perfect time for a bye week? And I think the answer to that is, whatever schedule you're given, you got to make the most of
it. Yeah, you got to make that work.
You got to make it work. And so last year, game four was our perfect time for a bye. And the year before that, it was, all the years that we've had have been perfect times for the bye. I think what you do is, again, every situation and every schedule that you're given, you try to make the most of it. And I love our bye week process. We'll work our butts off this week as coaches to, take advantage of those things. Fix things that need to be fixed, work on, build on things that have been good, mesh things together that have been, that have been successful, that can keep the defense and offense on their toes. I think this is such an important, it's setting you up for the rest of the year. And you really get a chance to really do a deep dive. And you do those, but you do those things after short weeks too, after a Thursday night game. We were able to spend some time on that, which was just 2 weeks ago, so we'll build off of some of those things. But it's so important that you use the time that you have and you have that commitment to and this will just to get better. And that's what our main focus is this week. I'm excited to go in there and talk to, the offensive staff of what they've done so far and get in some of those meetings, the defensive staff and the special teams. I know Vic will be watching tape all weekend. And Kevin will be watching tape all weekend, and Clay will be watching tape all weekend. We can't get away from this, even though, we go home and it's almost like if we go home, we spend our time with our families and when we get to go home a little bit earlier. But I know every one of our coaches has got their computer like I had last night at the house and watching the game and also, you know, I think, what, Tuesday you get some action, maybe on Wednesday, so you get to watch a little bit of football while you're watching some of your own football and you get home a little bit early. So it's hard to turn it off when you're 100 miles per hour every second of every day. Like we are in the midst of the season.
Nick, do you give yourself and the coaches even one day truly off during the bye week, or is there literally not one day off?
Yeah, of course. We need, you know, as important as for players to rest. You know, I think we've learned so much about sleep and the importance of, you know, getting away and sleeping and all that, so your mind is functioning at a very high level. It's like, I think when I first got into the NFL, or shoot, when I first got into coaching, it was like a badge of honor to hey, how many hours did you sleep last night? Yeah, right.
Stay up all night, and that makes you a better coach.
Yeah, that's so not true. It doesn't. It's so not true. You know, it makes you dumber. So, you know, it's really important that you have some time. Just like the players need time to rest their bodies, our coaches need time to rest their minds. Like I said, though, like, you know, even the days that we'll have off, or, you know, nights that we'll have off, you know, we're still going to be, you know, our coaches, and, you know, I've been with a lot of them for a long time. You know, Jason Michael always talks to me about, you know, how he likes to go home, have that conversation, and then just, you know, be watching a show with with his family and while he's watching tape. So we know how important this week is to really study, rest, all those different things. So all of them, everything, all those things can be true, and all those things are going to need to happen this week for us to have a productive week.
Nick, final thing here. You mentioned family. Let's talk about Friday night. The big question, what are you going to be for Halloween this year?
Well, you know, this might be the very first time. I was talking to my wife about that. You know, my oldest is 10, my youngest is 5. I think this is the first time I've ever been able to go trick-or-treating with them.
How cool. Wow. Yeah.
It's the best,
cool,
Nick.
That, how sad is that? I don't know.
You're going to have the best night ever, man. The best night ever.
Yeah. I'm really excited. Amazing to be able to do that. You know, initially I thought, man, it kind of be cool to dress up as the apparently somebody showed me that the Chicago Blackhawks hockey player
yeah, buddy.
Dressed up as me. I guess we kind of look alike.
You look very similar. A lot, yeah.
Maybe I'll dress up as him.
That
would be hilarious. That's a great idea.
My go-to in those, I think I have a Spider-Man shirt that has a hood on it that kind of has a mask on it too. So maybe if I don't get that Blackhawks jersey, maybe I'll yeah, I don't want to piss off any Flyer fans, so I probably will go away from that. I'll wear Spider-Man.
That's a good idea.
I like how you workshopped that in your mind as you were talking.
Yeah, that was quick. Yeah, processing. That was good.
Very quick.
I got some sleep. That's why. That's
critical. Yeah.
And Nick, with your extra time to do a little something different, check out Edgecombe if you get a chance, because I know you're a huge Hoops fan, and this guy's legit. So enjoy the bye week.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, Nick, enjoy the bye week. Congratulations on an outstanding, you know, we'll call it first half, obviously 6-2, the old first half. Hope you and your family have a great Halloween, and we'll talk to you after your next game. Thank you, Nick.
All right, thanks, coach.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
Doesn't sound like he's going to be catching up on Married with Children anytime soon.
No, I would guess.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I think he thought he had more time than he did.
Ike?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he'll get here.
No, he's fine. He's right there.
Get here when he gets here. Maybe I'll call Broads.
No.
Maybe Broads is interested.
Yeah, he's got the hot seat.
Yeah. The joining us now, as he does every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, is Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Hey, Baldy, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Spike? I'm doing good, buddy. Good to be with you guys.
So just got announced, the Eagles traded for Michael Carter II, who is a slot corner with the Jets. What do you know? I know, just putting you on the spot, but we haven't watched very much of him at all. Do you know anything about Michael Carter? Can he play the outside? We're trying to figure out the fit with the Eagles right now.
No, I've never seen him play outside. He's been a slot corner the whole time he's been there. Joe Douglas drafted him when he was the GM of the Jets. He's been their slot corner. He got injured this year, and I don't know if he lost his job, but they traded for this kid, Jarvis Brownlee, and he's been playing really good, so maybe he was expendable. But he's been a pretty good player. I mean, he was one of the starting corners for the last 2 years. But I've never seen him play outside, Spike. He's not a big guy. I've seen him just play on the, in the slot corner position.
It makes you wonder, because obviously Cooper has been, DeGene has been that spot for the Eagles. It makes you wonder if they're considering, they've had so much trouble with that CB2 spot between Ringo and Jackson and Ja'Cory Bennett being injured. I wonder if they would consider moving Cooper to the outside for this year with this trade, because this doesn't seem to address exactly what their deficiency is out there.
Well, I heard Vince, talking to me, I'm sure you did too, but Vic was saying that, Cooper is so good inside, and, he's dealing with tight ends. He's so physical. Like, guys can't get off the line of scrimmage on him. I'm just thinking, what he did to Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl, the whole thing. But when it's a two-receiver set, he plays outside opposite Quinion. So he's played a lot of outside, depending on the formation this year. But I know, Vicky's just come out and said he prefers that, but maybe that's what their solution is to play. Because I know he can play outside, and I know Vic knows he can. But if they can't figure out what you just, described as a CB2, putting Michael Carter, in the slot and playing Cooper outside is a remedy, but it is a remedy to the situation.
I was also thinking, Baldy, is there something going on with one of the other corners? Like, meaning that do we have an injury somewhere that they felt they needed depth with the guy?
Yeah, no, it could be a depth concern, too. There's no question. I mean, I'd see this. I just looking around the league.
Yeah.
We have a bad, bad shortage of corners in this league. And, I mean, if you just go and watch the Cowboys play Denver last week, they just abused a rookie corner. You see that kid, Corey Black, come in last week. Like, he was a practice squad kid for the Giants. I mean, they abused him as soon as he got out there on the field. And that's kind of around the league right now. And, you know, the Eagles aren't really a lot different than some of these other teams when it comes to just good cornerback play or any depth at that position. Nobody seems to have it. And very few teams have three really good starting corners like Denver does, like New England does, like, you know, some of these other teams in the league.
Hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how
they
use them.
Do, yeah.
And they, you know, you make the trade now. The Eagles are lucky to have the bye week where they have it to give them a chance to think about how they're going to do it and try to work it in next week.
I also got some pretty good offenses they're about to play.
Yes,
when they come back from the bye week.
Yeah, for sure. Baldy, we saw by far the most successful game of offense to our eyes, to from a points perspective, from a yards perspective, on Sunday against the Giants. To you, the thing that led to the success, was it just a better performance of everybody doing the jobs that they're doing, or was it an evolution of from a scheme standpoint of what they were able to do to accomplish that? Mm.
Couple things, Spike. One, Brett Toth played great at center. I mean, he was really good. They added some new run plays, a lot of pin and pulls, where, you know, you saw Lane getting out there on the perimeter. You saw Mulata. You saw Toth get out on the perimeter quite a bit and some of those gut plays that they ran. So that was something that they've been holding on to, and they're just waiting for the right guy that could be the pin guy so you can get outside. So they got that done. The play that Saquon scored on was probably the best block play of the year. Devontae Smith had a good block on the corner as well. So that was a perfectly blocked play, and they hadn't had a lot of runways like that for Saquon. And then the play-action pass continues to evolve. And so, you know, they got some deep shots down there. They went after the kid I'm talking about, Corey Black, like they should. And so I feel like the offense is really evolving right now with the play-action pass, with some of the runs that they added this week, and then just the way that they played on the interior of an offensive line. You know, Lane plays great every week. Like, nobody beats him. That's Brian Burns out there. Like, his feet are stopping against him. He's got him so wrapped up. Mulata's pretty much the same way. So I thought it was a really good week for the tight ends in the line. And then, obviously, Bigsby had a big day, too, because of how they blocked up front on the runs.
They've done this thing over the last couple of weeks where instead of, you know, that extra tight end, they're doing a jumbo package where they throw Fred Johnson out there.
Yeah.
I know the Bills do that some. How popular is that around the league? Because it does seem like the Eagles have had a lot of success with it.
Well, it's interesting you ask that question, Spike, because honestly, the really good teams in this league are running the ball more than they're throwing it, and they're using extra tackles at tight end. I saw the Chiefs on one play last week had four tackles on the field. Like, they're just like, they're not even trying to, like, you know, like, hide anything. We're going to run the ball, and this is how we're going to do it. But we're seeing extra tackles at tight end, but we're also seeing, like, really good tight ends. You watch what James Cook did in Buffalo last week. I mean, this Jackson Hawes they drafted in the third round is a really good blocking tight end. Most of the teams that are running the ball well right now are playing either two or three tight ends or two tight ends and a fullback, or an extra tackle and two tight ends. You're seeing less and less three and four wide receiver sets in this league amongst the really good offenses right now. And I'm including you know, the Indianapolis Colts and all of that right now, because their tight ends block as good as anybody in this league.
You think that, Baldy, is that because the defenses have sort of they are playing much better, they're figuring something out, or is the quarterback playing at a high level as most people would think? Because this is supposed to be a passing league, according to a lot of the experts. But you see the trend that everybody's going towards playing more of this sort of what the Eagles did last year, now what you see the Colts doing this year.
Well, what the tight ends do, Ike, and you know this being a linebacker, is, you know, it forces the defense to defend another gap.
Okay.
So if you come out and you're in four wide receivers, you're basically defending three gaps. To each side, you know, A, B, C. I mean, every defense is a gap defense.
Yep.
So it's just how you're going to fill it, right? So if you have two tight ends, a YY set, right, or you have that extra tackle that you're talking about, Spike, and then a tight end, you've got to defend another gap. And so these teams want to play, you know, two safeties deep to prevent the deep passes. So teams are like, all right, you want to play your safeties back, and now we're going to add an extra gap for you to defend. You got to choose. Are you dropping that safety down right now? I mean, I'm not trying to get too technical with these X's and O's. But like, it's forcing defenses, all right, if you want to stay too high and play a shell defense, like they say the Cowboys did week one against the Eagles to prevent the big throws, then we're going to run the ball down your throats. And we're going to, you know, force you to drop a safety down or play bigger linebackers the way Kansas City does.
Mm-hmm. I do think we are, I want to know your thoughts on this. You mentioned the under center play action. Something else we saw was a successful screen pass, and it might not sound like much, but it's not something they've done very well. And it does seem like maybe it's the comfort with Jalen and Kevin Petullo. Maybe it's, you know, the offense stalling for 4 or 5 weeks, but it does seem like Jalen specifically is evolving into things that he either wasn't comfortable previously, or wasn't that good at previously. It does feel like he is evolving in a positive way in sort of aspects of the game that he didn't thrive in before.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true. I'm not saying I don't know if Jalen likes or doesn't like the screen game, but I mean, if you're playing the Giants and you got Brian Burns, who leads the league in sacks, and you've got this Abdul Carter, who's a pass rush, he is a good pass rusher. I mean, screen is always the way to slow down the pass rush. And so they ran, you know, they got a good screen the other day. Like I said, Totes played really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good on the perimeter. You know, and Lane can run with the best of them. So can Mulata. So you get these guys out there and start picking guys off. I mean, if you get the right look and these guys are really screaming after the quarterback, I mean, it's the greatest counterpunch in this game to this day. I mean, nobody runs better screens than Andy in Kansas City. It's always been a part of what mm-hmm. they do. They're still doing it with a variety of ways. But the screen game should be a part of everybody's offense, and it's just a question of pulling it out at the right time.
So we got pressure on the defense.
Man, I can't let that one.
Oh, you run out of
that? Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
Go down.
Pulling out of the right time. Yeah, you made everybody laugh there.
Ooh, boy.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No, don't worry about it. So we ended up, I think, with 5 sacks on Sunday, and it seems like they equaled their season total in one game. Now, was that is that something we look at the defensive line, and it wasn't with blitzes or anything, is that something where we can be optimistic with the evolution of what's happening on the defensive line, or is that, hey, they played a team that's just not very good and they had a good day?
They lost Gadaboo, and they kind of lost the running game a little bit. And then they fell behind. They had to throw it probably a lot more than they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback is going to hold the ball, trying to make the play. So, I mean, but Jalen Carter, you know, has woken up. He's a factor right now. I talked to him before the game. His agent was there. So, I mean, he's coming around. And I just think that, you know, I saw Nolan Smith, working out before the game. Like, he's going to be in the pads. He's going to be playing real soon. And obviously, BG is up. Like, I think it's gonna come around. You get your twist stunts going, and you get the right situations, third and long, second and long. I mean, where you can really pin your ears back and get after guys. And you're going up against a rookie quarterback. Even the kid up in New England right now, Drake May, who leads the league in passing right now. He's taking a lot of sacks, and he took 5 from Myles Garrett last week alone. So some of these guys, they're looking for the big play, they're looking for the right look, and they're holding the ball probably longer than they should. And you're gonna put them on the ground eventually.
Well, it seems like, we hit the bye. Eagles are 6-2, and it seems like they're getting better and things are coming together at the right time. And no one has really separated themselves in the NFC. So, there's some good teams. Detroit's a good team. Green Bay's a good team. But we feel like the Eagles are right there with them. So it feels like everything's going in the right direction at the right time.
Well, they're going to be up in Green Bay on a Monday night pretty soon. And that's going to they're going to learn an awful lot about both teams, and they'll see Detroit. And so, you need these matches during the season to sharpen yourself to find out where you're at. You could beat up on the Giants and revenge game and all that stuff. That's great. But, if you're looking at the playoff picture, you're going to see two playoff teams, in a couple weeks here that will kind of let you know exactly where we're at.
All right. No.
I'm excited for them, Baldy. I'm excited for those two games right there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good football, good quarterback play, and really good coaching up in Green Bay and Detroit.
Yep.
And so, Nick can measure himself and Petullo and Vic against some really good coaches right now.
Yep.
All right, Baldy. Thank you as always. We'll talk to you same time, same place next week.
Appreciate it, brother.
You got it, guys. Yep.
There he is, Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
For more on the win and 6-2 at the old halfway point of the season, we turn to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than I was 2 weeks ago because the Eagles are doing better than they were 2 weeks ago. So, Ray, let's start there. 2 weeks ago, you and I and many people were expressing very genuine, somewhat deep concern about this Eagles team this year. How impressed, how surprised by such a thorough bounce back within the last 2 weeks?
Mildly surprised that they came out and they tripled their rushing average yesterday. The team was averaging 80 yards rushing, and yesterday they go for 276 276. So yeah, that much of a, I knew they were better than what they were showing in the Denver game and certainly in the first Giants game. But was I expecting something quite like this? No. But I felt good about it. I think it was. It was the first time this year, and I think everybody was thinking this as the game was going on. This is the first really four quarters game that they've played this year, and the first game in which you could really say that they were in control. I mean, and literally right from the second offensive play. So, yeah, I mean, it makes you feel like, okay, maybe they've figured some things out, and maybe they're positioned to do a big second half run. I'd like to think so. But, you know, keep in mind who you were playing, which is the Giants, and the fact that in a week after you get your little bit of a breather here, you're coming back and you're going to be playing Green Bay and Detroit back-to-back, and those two teams' defenses against the run, they rank number 2 and number 5 in the league. So I like to think that the running game is back on track and Barkley is going to be fine after yesterday, but I'm still very aware of the fact that that some significant challenges lie ahead.
Jeez, that's daunting when you put it that way, Ray. So they need to clean up on what, in your opinion, over the next 2 weeks to be best prepared for this tough stretch ahead?
Well, I think that I think they'll figure some things out. And I'm sure that, listen, I am sure that the last Giants game, the one up in New York, was that was a slap in the face for everybody. Not just the fans and not just you and me, but I mean, I think everybody within the building kind of took a
wake up.
Yeah, I mean, there was a real gasp there. I mean, that was so bad that I think everybody kind of wondered where are we headed. So I think yesterday kind of makes you feel like you're kind of things back on track, but can you sustain it? And I think that they've changed a few things. One of the things that we've been calling for weeks,
years,
has been putting the quarterback more under center, which gives the offense a different look, and it definitely helps. And then yesterday,
why were they so resistant?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I've been around teams and around coaches that when you talk about this kind of thing, sometimes they say, and I don't know if this is the case with the Eagles, but maybe it's a little bit. You have to ask the coach about why are you in the shotgun all the time? And coach will say, that's what the quarterback wants. When you think about it, a lot of these kids come out of college and they've been in shotgun, but almost exclusively shotgun everywhere they've been. And the idea of getting under center, taking a snap under center, taking a drop, turning your back to the line of scrimmage, sometimes quarterbacks say, I'm not comfortable doing that.
Sure.
And coaches kind of bend to that and just say, okay, well, we'll run everything from the shotgun. But from a formation standpoint and a play calling standpoint, that kind of ties your hands. I mean, the under center thing is a valuable tool, especially when you have the kind of players that the Eagles have. And going to that, I think, has really helped them. It's created a play action game that didn't really exist before. And it's given the defense one more thing to think about. And I don't know if Jalen Hurts is of that mindset that he doesn't really like being under center. He would rather be in the gun.
But the fact
of the matter is, being able to do both makes them a better offensive team.
For sure. Ray Dittinger with us right now. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio. You know, Ray, speaking of Jalen, we've seen him win an MVP of the Super Bowl. We saw him almost win another MVP from another Super Bowl. This yesterday, to me, was the Jalen they could be the MVP of the regular season. I think right now Jonathan Taylor should be the front runner, but what I saw yesterday is the guy that can win it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, in terms of what you mean by most valuable player, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, as the votes would go down, you know, I don't know that Jalen's ever really going to put up those kinds of numbers. I mean, look at the numbers that Daniel Jones is putting up
yeah.
right now. I mean, you're talking about the MVP. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like totally out of left field that we could be having a discussion about Daniel Jones as an MVP. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the way that team is playing and the way he's playing, he would be in that. And I think that if you get to that total season MVP award, I don't know that Jalen's numbers will ever be those kinds of numbers that would get the votes that he would need to win it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he isn't. You know what I mean?
I think
that in terms of what he means and in terms of what he does and in terms of the way he wins, to me, he's an MVP candidate every year. But I just don't know that the way the voters think and the way the voters judge these things that he will. But the fact of the matter is, you look at the way he's playing right now, he's playing at a super high level.
Ray, do you think this team has the offensive firepower to win in the postseason if there's no AJ?
It would be much harder. It would be much harder. You need that. I mean, AJ brings something to the offense that's unique. I mean, there aren't many receivers in the league that can do the things that he can do. And if you're thinking about winning the whole thing,
yeah,
I mean, you need him to be contributing. Now, you won it all last year with his numbers significantly down. I'm not saying for them to win it all, he has to catch 90 balls for 1,400 yards. But he has to be a bigger part of the offense than what he has been to this point. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, one of the things we're talking about, how the offense looked so much better yesterday, there were two things that jumped out at me. One of them was the very first play that they ran. We haven't seen that much of them pulling the offside guard and tackle and running that play to the edge, you know, where you get the double team block and they kick out and he hits the gap. I mean, that's one of the things that
the power,
I mean, they ran that play all the time with success last year. They weren't running it much this year. A lot of the runs were just straight ahead between the tackle stuff. But I think yesterday showing that the offensive linemen could move a little bit and make those plays, I think was significant. And the other thing that I think really contributed to this, and nobody really talked about this, but to me it jumped out, was they had good field position on offense yesterday. I mean, if you look at, they started their drives at the 35, the 25, the 47, the 42, the 28, the 29. I mean, they only had one drive that they started that was deep in their own territory. And they started at their own 13, and that was the one drive where they went three and out. And I think that if you look back over this year, I mean, how many times have they started possessions inside their own 20?
Yep.
Whereas their opponents are starting their drives between the 30 and the 40. I mean, that's a big difference. And a lot of it was their return game was really bad for a while, so they were getting bad field position there. Or if they got a halfway decent return, there was a penalty, there was a hold, there was a block in the back or something that walked them back inside the 20. And I think that affected their play calling. I think when they were starting their drives that deep in their own territory, they came out with a conservative mindset. And I think yesterday, getting really consistently good field position, which they did, the special teams got them some good returns. They didn't commit any dumb penalties. That they're starting with a good field position, I think, loosened up the play calling and helped a lot in what they were doing.
Ray, I want to go back to the AJ thing and your years of experience covering Philly sports and being a Philly sports fan, going back to being a kid, is going to play great for this. I'm just curious if you think this AJ thing is going to be solvable and they keep him long term or not, because I'm thinking through some of the stars in Philly sports history. For one reason or another, you could tell that maybe it wasn't going to last much longer. Terrell Owens, Charles Barkley, Iverson at a couple different points, Scott Rolen, and certainly we could name others. Does this one with AJ Brown feel to you like it's going to be solved and he'll be here as his age suggests he could be for the next 3 to 5 years? Or do you feel like whether it's in the next week or the next offseason that this thing might have a conclusion soon?
No, I don't have that feeling. I mean, when you compare his situation to some of the ones that you just mentioned, no, I don't feel that. I mean, what's going on now? I mean, with the whole, and it's not going to be uncommon now. I mean, with the as we get deeper and deeper into the social media age, you know, more and more athletes and more cities are going to be living their lives on social media, which is going to cause various problems. And I think that listen, that's just going to be part and parcel of who AJ is. But the fact is that he does play well. I mean, it's not like he goes into a sulk and doesn't do the other things. I mean, he does play hard. And does he want the ball? Yeah, he wants the ball. All receivers want the ball, and he's not afraid to talk about it. But when I hear the conversation, which we had over the last couple of weeks, about maybe he'll get traded at the trading deadline, I mean, I never thought for a second that could happen. Because he's just too good. I mean, he's just too good. There just aren't many receivers in the league like him. And, you know, the Eagles, I think they have a team that they can deal with most of this stuff. I mean, would you rather it not be there? It's sort of like a fly buzzing around your ear all the time. you keep swatting at it, hoping it goes away. And do the guys in the building feel that way? Probably they do. But it seems to me that he's a popular guy among the other players. Yeah. They kind of recognize that this is part of his personality. And it's quirky and it's odd and it's... is it distracting? Only in the sense that you kind of have to answer questions about it and talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think his overall worth as a football player and his importance to the team is too great for that to be a factor where you finally say, oh, we just can't live with this anymore. No, he's too good. I think he's, you know, I mean, will it happen down the road somewhere? I guess possibly, but I don't see it being anything that's going to be of an immediate concern.
Can we talk about something on the other side of the football? Jahad Campbell is playing less now than N'Kobe Dean. Jahad Campbell started the year as the other inside linebacker besides Zach Bond, and now there's a situation. Is the defense better with one or the other in your view, Ray, based on what you've seen? And how tough is this situation? How worried should we be that there's bad feelings?
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue. I mean, I've noticed it the same as you've noticed it.
Yeah.
That as with Dean's role now being what it is, you're seeing less of Campbell. But he's still playing. He's still getting his snaps. And I think part of what you wanted Dean on the field for was just his experience and his leadership.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he was at Georgia, and that was one of the reasons why a lot of the scouts, despite his size, thought that he would be an NFL player because he's so smart. And he's such a good leader on the team. I think leadership was kind of lacking on that defense for a while. And I think Dean has helped in that area a lot. And I know that Fangio likes him. You hear the way he talks about him, how much they missed him when he wasn't out there.
Yeah.
So he's going to have that role. I mean, he's going to be that.
Jahad Campbell, he was 21 snaps in this one compared to N'Kobe with 33 snaps in this one. So
right.
Already
right.
Passed
that,
him.
Yeah, and I think to me that's probably what you're going to see going forward. I mean, yeah. I guess it'll vary maybe a little bit week to week depending on the opponent, but I would expect that if Dean stays healthy, that he will play more than Campbell. But there are enough opportunities, and given Campbell's versatility to be able to both play off ball and on the edge, there'll be opportunities for him to get on the field. And he's been very good. I mean, from the very beginning of the year, I mean he has played very well and hasn't made any rookie mistakes. And you know he's a valuable player, and he's still going to get his snaps. But I think that Dean brings something else to that defense in terms of command and coordination and leadership there that Vic feels is important, and so do I.
All right, Ray, final thing here. You know, I'm very curious your answer on this, the Bryce Harper situation. So he spoke over the weekend to The Athletic and said that he was or is hurt by what Dave Dombrowski said about a week and a half ago. And I'm curious from your perspective, knowing that coaches and general managers and owners yesteryear used to call out athletes and star athletes, Dallas Green and others would do it, like no problem. Bill Parcells would do it, no problem. But it doesn't get done much anymore. Do you think Dombrowski made a mistake with what he publicly said about Bryce Harper or not?
I think in terms of the modern sports media culture, you could probably say that he did. I mean, I fully understand what he said, and I happen to agree with it. But I think that given the way things work now and the way athletes – feel about how they're spoken about, especially by people in the organization, that I hate to say that Dombrowski made a mistake speaking the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's which is kind of what you got.
Yep.
I
no,
mean,
that, that's it. Yep. Made a mistake speaking the truth. That's the question. He spoke the truth. The question is it a mistake to say it?
you know, I guess maybe I'm old school. No. Speaking the truth never bothers me.
Unless your wife asks you, do I look fat in this?
I'm sorry?
Unless your wife asks, do I look fat in this?
Yeah. I'm a little bit surprised that Harper responded the way he did. In the sense that I don't think Dombrowski said anything was out of line. I mean, he still talked about him being an all-star caliber player who didn't necessarily play at an elite level this year. He wasn't condemning him for that, but I think he just said what was obvious to pretty much everybody. Now do we take this, do we really think we're taking this to the next step, which is that Harper is possibly trade bait? No, because it's contractually, they almost can't do it.
Well, he has the right to say no because he's got the no trade. John, I get the impression that you view Bryce in a lesser light because he's not taking ownership that he hasn't been as good and he's coming back publicly. Like, that's my interpretation of what you said in the first 2 hours.
That's problematic for me. He had a down year. Own up to that. And, I mean, that's basically what Dave Dombrowski was saying.
Pretty much.
Hey, I don't know if he's still elite. He didn't look that way this past season. He can certainly bounce back. I hope he does. That'll make us a better team if he does. So that's a challenge as I see it.
Yeah.
And I hope that Bryce responds to this in a healthy way rather than sitting and sulking and saying his feelings are hurt about it. Like, take that hurt and go motivate and get better. Go work hard. Go get stronger and make your teammates around you better. That's the plan.
Yeah, it's an interesting case study on how it's different now, Ray.
Oh yeah, I mean it's Exhibit A in terms of how the media slash athlete dynamic works in today's sports world compared to what it used to be back when. And you mentioned some cases back in the past when coaches or GMs would sort of call out a player. And if the guy wants to be on, and sometimes it's done unfairly, sometimes it's done out of anger, and sometimes it can be truly negative. But if the guy just speaks the truth, and I think Dombrowski just spoke the truth to everyone's understanding, then it's up to the player to just kind of suck it up, see it for what it is, suck it up, and do the things he's got to do this offseason to come back and be that better player next year.
Ray, final thing, I understand you've got a cool book event coming out tomorrow. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, Rob Ellis and I are going to be doing an Eagles event at the Delaware Theater Company down in Wilmington, right off I-95. And it's going to be basically Rob and I talking Eagles football, assessing the NFL at midseason, which is what a crazy league this is. I mean, it seems like everybody in the league has either 5 or 6 wins. The second half of this year is going to be nuts. I can't wait for it. But we're going to be talking about all that and also talking about my new Eagles encyclopedia, which just came out and hit the bookstores this past week. So we'll be down there talking Eagles football, and I'll be signing books, and it should be a fun night. So it's Delaware Theater Company tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Come on down and join us.
Let me give the audience something they probably already know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Ray's Eagles Encyclopedia, it makes for an outstanding holiday gift. Diddy, have a great afternoon as we get to it in a couple hours. Ray, have a great day, my man. Thanks, Ray.
All right, you do the same. Take care,
guys. All right,
guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Thanks again to Joe DeCamera for coming and joining us for an hour. His book, The Best of Philly Sports, Amazing Moments and Stories in Philadelphia Sports History, available on Amazon right now. He wrote it himself. It only took him 10 years to write a 160-page book, but he wrote it nonetheless. Joining us now, he usually joins us at 4, but 4:30 this week. You can hear him on Believe in Eagle, the Believe in Eagles podcast every week with Lee Mayock. That is the great Mike Mayock. Mike, thanks for accommodating us today with the slight time change, and thank you for joining us as well.
My pleasure. What's happening?
Well,
what's up, Mike?
Low pressure week, you know. Eagles 6-2 and heading to the bye, so we don't have to worry about a game this weekend. Off the top, you know, the trade the Eagles made for Michael Carter II, the slot corner for the Jets. How do you think that, you know, we've been pretty accustomed to seeing Cooper DeJean in that spot? How do you think that fits for them moving forward and the calculus for the rest of the year with the cornerback situation with the Eagles?
Yeah, it's really intriguing because I get a kick out of watching Vic Fangio's press conference every week. And I'm sure you guys talked about what he said earlier this week prior to the trade about that position.
Yep.
In Cooper DeJean. And basically, what he said makes a ton of sense. Like, you got a guy playing at a really high level, at a very difficult position, and if you kick him outside, he might not be quite as effective or impactful, I think is the word Vic used, because he's not involved as much.
Yep.
Right? The outside corners are not involved as much as nickels are, who have run fits as much as they have pass responsibilities. So, if you take this kid from the Jets, who's predominantly an inside player, a nickel, and a good nickel, and you move Cooper outside full time, you take a chance at really, you know, not helping yourself significantly and maybe even hurting yourself. So I'm guessing that Joe Douglas, who is the Jets GM, you know, had a lot of background with Howie as far as this kid goes, drafting him out of Duke. When I saw his tape coming out of college, he played a lot of positions at Duke, you know, but most of the league had him as a nickel, and that's where he played. So I have trouble seeing Nick making that move. I think you're going to see this kid outside and see if he's an upgrade over what they have.
Mm. And then if I could ask you to put your GM hat on, because there was a rumor today from Charles Robinson from Yahoo saying that some high-ranking people in the league believe that Howie Roseman is trying to make a play for Myles Garrett. And the deal that Robinson brought up was three first-round picks. So as a general manager, he is a great player, no doubt, Myles Garrett. How do you measure the value of what that one player can bring versus the future value of those three picks? And if you were in that position, how would you decide that?
Well, I mean, I think what Howie has shown is he's developed his reputation, you know, as Trey or Howie or whatever you want to call him. But he's been really good at making moves throughout the year, not just the trade deadline. So I think every time a big name guy comes up for trade at the trade deadline, potentially in the rumor mill, somebody's going to assign him to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just because Howie swacked it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the media mill is going to push people at the Eagles every year. Does he make sense for the Eagles and or for Cleveland to move? The devil's in the details. And, the Eagles would have to figure out a way to get that done, both with the compensation and the salary cap. And also Cleveland would have to get it done. If you're Andrew Berry, their GM, you got to find a way. All that money they just paid him is going to accelerate into dead cap space immediately. So does it even make sense for Cleveland? They already have two first-round picks this year, by the way, mm-hmm. right? So I get a kick out of all the stuff that gets thrown around. I would say the odds of that happening are less than 5%, mm-hmm. maybe less than 1%.
Let's say the Eagles don't do anything major, Mike, at the trade deadline. That they may make a little ancillary move for some depth or what have you. Do you like where the roster is at and sort of where they're headed from a playing standpoint on the field when you look at the rest of the NFC? Do you like where the Eagles are trending at this point moving forward?
I do. And, okay. The sky was falling a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the process and hanging in there, and that's what's happened the last 2 weeks. I give their coaching staff some credit, Ike. I mean, we talked a week ago about, how they got under center,
mm-hmm.
How they had six offensive linemen. They continued that last week, and they threw in – I think the coaching staff did a nice job with – they threw in some other stuff in the run game, especially some key breakers in shotgun, which I hadn't seen them do much of. They ran counter to the offset back. They ran toss to the offset back into the sideline. Mm-hmm. They did some things they don't usually do is what I'm trying to say over the last couple weeks,
yeah.
which is going to make it harder for teams to defend them going forward. So I like where they're going. I think these next two games, and this is not a newsflash, I think the NFC is wide open and the whole league is wide open. And I think Green Bay and Detroit are going to be two huge tests as to where the Eagles are. And, you're going to come out of a bye and play at Green Bay on a Monday night, come back home on a short week and play Detroit. Two really physical, high-level teams. It would be disappointing. And I'm not even talking about the win-loss results. It would be disappointing to see them come out on the offensive side of the ball and play like they did 3 or 4 weeks ago. Right. That's the way I'm looking at it, is continuing the progress and competing in those two games in all three phases.
Mike, you mentioned the scheme stuff in the offense and specifically the run game. How much of you do you think in that specific game against the Giants was that, and how much was the offensive line just doing a better job at the things that they hadn't done a good job of? We talk to Jordan Mailata every week, who seemed to be pretty frustrated, not just with his own play, but overall he seemed to think that there are a lot of execution issues from the offensive line. So how much of that success did you see just in their execution, and how much was scheme?
How about you, Spike? You're actually being positive here. I like
Oh, luck, man. Wow. All right. Let's go.
Mike, you and I got to have a talk. You do a show next to Ike. You got to be me. He's positive about everything.
I mean, that was cool. That was a good way to look at this. And actually, in my notes, that's what I have.
See? You don't have to go back in and compliment. Yeah.
This Toss kid, I mean, you know, he struggled for a couple of weeks. And what I loved with that whole perimeter that I just talked about in the run game, the perimeter run game, it looks to me like he is a better player on the move than trying to fight big bodies in the middle of the offensive line. And I thought he did a really nice job last week. You know, I thought my Lotta had a better game, to be honest with you. You know, I was nervous the first snap of the game. Lane Johnson tripped and fell. Nobody touched him. He just tripped and fell on his kick slide. And I was like, oh, no, really? And the defensive end came flying in, and, of course, you know, Jalen had to sprint away from it. But I think the flip side of this, guys, just because you know me, I try to keep things real.
Yep.
With all the good stuff we're talking about, the thing that I think is still lacking is the pass game out of shotgun, and it still needs to get efficient. I want to say 16 shotgun, and I think it was the first three quarters. I forget what I had it for, but they 16 shotgun passes with five scrambles and a sack. Okay, and the best thing they did was in their 2 minute drill. In that 2 minute drill, they hit Smitty twice, a comeback and a slant. Then they hit the tight end Goddard for a touchdown. That looked like a drop back shotgun offense. But the rest of it, I want to say, of the first eight shotguns, I think they had five scrambles or four scrambles, a check down and a screen. It was like, you know, what are you doing? So the efficiency of the shotgun pass offense, which is a huge part of what they do, you know, that's what I'm looking for to continue to develop. And when they got under center and threw the ball last week, like in the first half, they were 2 for 2. Both of them wide open inside dig routes to Smitty, you know, for 42 yards, plus 14, plus 28. So I love the continuation of the under center play action game.
Because you're the first person that's brought up, we've all talked about the pass game issues, you know, incessantly throughout the year. You're the first one to point out the shotgun pass game issues. Is that something where they're not, because one of the things that we've talked about with Jalen is, you know, letting go of the ball early. Is that what the issue is with the shotgun pass game, or is it a bunch of different things that are sort of clouding why why they haven't been successful there?
I think there's some things that we're all just going to have to live with Jalen. Okay. And whether or not he's an anticipatory thrower and those kinds of things, you know, the way I look at this thing is, okay, A, Jalen is who he is. And what he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I don't care if you rank him 5 or 9 or whatever, but he's been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. You know you can win with him. Not every quarterback is good at everything. So having said that, that's why I mentioned the 2 minute offense.
Yeah.
They were getting under center. They were in a hurry. The ball was coming out. And it looked like what you would see with other teams when they're in gun. And keep in mind, you're in gun a high percentage of the time when you're throwing the football. So it's not a minor thing, and I'm not trying to be negative at all. I'm just saying when I watched the tape, the only thing that jumped out to me negative on the offensive side of the ball was just continuing to develop the shotgun pass game. And it got, I mean, even before they threw an incompletion near the end of the half, I think it was Smitty on a seam or a skinny post. And I was happy with that because he threw it on time and he threw it over his head because he wasn't wide open, and that's fine in the end zone. This is right before they scored. Those are the kind of throws you want to see keep happening. Mm-hmm. Because literally, I'm looking at my notes, right? Pull my notes out. Here's the shotgun pass game at the beginning of the game. Scramble, screen, plus 12. Scramble, jet sweep plus three, check down, scramble. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, first seven plays in gun. I mean, just not, it's not efficient that way, and it's not sustainable unless you've got a great run game.
All right, Mike. We appreciate you calling. Thanks again for moving. We will talk to you next week. We'll be looking ahead to a huge game, as you mentioned, Monday night against Green Bay. Actually, now that we have you, Green Bay is sort of they've got a great record. They've only lost one game. Of course, they tied to the Cowboys. Yeah. Every time you watch them, they're sort of like a hard team to figure out from an identity standpoint or how good they actually are. What have you seen from the Packers so far? We'll talk about it next week. But now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, their head coach is their play caller, and I think that he's highly adaptable game to game on what he wants to highlight. And obviously that's a problem, especially when they've got an ability to run the ball with Josh Jacobs, who we drafted out in Vegas. And I love Josh. He's as tough as they come, and he's a special running back. And Jordan Love has developed this year, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's always had a whip for an arm. They drafted the golden kid in the first round. The offensive line's pretty good. So offensively, they're a bit of a headache to deal with because they can kind of take what you don't do well and go attack it.
All right, Mike, we will talk to you next week. Thanks as always, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
There he is, Mike Mayock with his backhanded compliment. That call presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're live today. Klondike Kate's in Newark. Dale, come on out. Have lunch. We are sponsored today by Klondike Kate's Restaurant Salute. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. As you know, I mentioned, it's a big football weekend. College pros, right? Starts tonight with Thursday Night Football with the
Miami.
Miami, the Baltimore. Lamar is back in that game.
Yeah, he's back.
So we'll see if they take off from here. Of course, tonight we get a big college game. I'm wearing the hoodie here, Delaware State,
Norfolk State.
It's a big one. Big pro weekend. Of course, the Eagles run a bye. And how about Temple football, Hugh? With a win, bowl eligible here. Joining us right now, a guy that people in this area remember, because he used to be here at Delaware, now at Temple, doing a heck of a job. Temple football head coach Casey Keeler joining us on the Midday Show. Casey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. You're at my old stomping ground, Klondike Cape.
I heard about that. So you have any stories about your days down here in Delaware and Klondike Cates?
Probably can't share them.
Well, they had a salad named after me called the Casey's Cobb Salad, and every May we would donate all the proceeds to the Boys and Girls Club. So they worked with me on a number of different events raising money there, and they were awesome. I had my radio show there. I think my picture is somewhere up there next to Flacco and Mike Adams, but I don't know. It's been a while since I've been there.
Well, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it's up here.
Yeah,
coast,
I bet
we
they
see
would
a lot
take
of,
it down.
It's a lot of famous athletes that came from this area. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you're up here somewhere. Yeah, you're up here.
Oh, Hugh found you. We got you. So, Coach, how you been? And tell us about the team this year. We know this thing is moving, and we're close to bowl eligibility now.
Well, you know, first meeting, I set the expectations right off the bat. It's like, guys, I'm here to win, and we're going to win now. And you know, the first goal is making a bowl. And then after that, it's going to be, you know, conference championship and getting to, you know, bigger bowls. And so we kept most of the team. I think people were surprised. That's not my style. I don't come in and blow things up. It's more like these kids came to Temple to get a great education. If they want to come, if they want to stay and they want to do it my way, I'm all on board. And we were able to keep a pretty good group. And then we added some guys through the portal. And that's going well. I have a quarterback that's playing phenomenal. You know, 21 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's put 2 in the end zone on his feet. But, it's going well.
Coach, I'm always curious, especially now with this NIL climate and everything, how hard is it now to navigate getting players as opposed to the way that it used to be before the NILs were a thing?
Yeah, you know, they would come in your office and they wanted to talk about education in the past. Now they want to talk about, like, what is their NIL? And so what we've done is all of our high school kids, we said, listen, we're not paying anyone any more than anyone else. So if you're a defensive tackle, if you're a quarterback, if you're a wide receiver, you're all getting the same number. It's not going to be a lot, but you can come and earn it. Our main goal is to retain our best players. And so that's what we're doing. I mean, so I think there's some strategy that you have to use, but a lot of it is about, like, you know, what they can get paid. I do believe, though, if you can have a great culture and the kids mm-hmm. love going to school there and they love the program and there's a brotherhood, I think you can get those hometown discounts. And that's what we did at Sam Houston. We had a phenomenal roster and on very little money. At Temple, we'll have a pretty good investment because the conference has mandated that every team in our conference has to have a certain amount of money of rev, we call it rev share. Mm-hmm. And so that's been great because it's forced everybody in our conference to step up and make an investment.
That's pretty cool, Coach, because it's crazy because, you know, I've never been a part of it, but I remember when it first came out, it was like the Wild Wild West, and you had kids in the transfer portal like every other week, and that made it harder for the mid-majors and the lower tier schools. So I was just always curious, how did you maintain keeping those kids there? And it sounded like you got a pretty solid plan going.
Yeah, and so, you know, one of the things, too, is you got to educate them. There's so many cautionary tales of guys who were great players at one institution that went to another institution, couldn't even get on the field. And I used the Joe Flacco example. I mean, Flacco couldn't get on the field at Pitt. And he transfers to Delaware, ends up being the 18th overall pick and wins a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. The single most important thing we did for him is he played. It's the same thing here. You need to go someplace and you need to play. I mean, there's a lot of the power fours that are buying players and just putting them as backups. And is that how you want to have your career? So it's a lot about having communication and educating them. And again, if someone's going to come in with $1 million and you can pay $100,000, I get it. But if the number's close and you can keep them in a situation they're comfortable in and they feel they can keep on growing, then I think you have a chance to keep them.
Temple head coach Casey Keeler is joining us here with a win on Saturday over East Carolina. The team will be bowl eligible this season. Coach, looking at the schedule, you guys are 5-3. Two of those losses, though, are to some of the better teams in the country, with Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, who has a heck of a quarterback that could be in the Heisman race here. What's the value for you guys having played those games? I know there were losses, and of course you wanted to win those games, but I would think, from your perspective and your teams, there's got to be some value seeing teams of that level early in the season to kind of measure yourself off of.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the teams that we've lost to have a combined record of like 20-2. And so we played some pretty good football teams. It was hard, you know, playing Oklahoma and Georgia Tech back-to-back. I thought the guys lost some confidence. And, you know, we kind of sleptwalked our way through the first half of UTSA. And we had a little come-to-Jesus meeting, you know, at halftime. And I told them very bluntly, I said, I've been your head coach for 10 months, and I'm embarrassed to be your coach for the very first time. That's not what we can do out there. And we, you know, got our stuff together. We went out and had a great win that second half. And I think from that point forward, we've kind of come to understand, like, we got to play with great energy. We got to play with great intensity. And even though those Power Four schools kind of beat up on us a little bit, you know, there was times that we went toe-to-toe with those guys. So, again, I think that's a lot of the messaging you got to put in their heads. And I knew after those Georgia Tech and the Oklahoma loss, I could just tell the guys lost a little bit of their confidence. And it was good getting that win back at UTSA and kind of moving from there.
Casey, what is it like being back in the area? I mean, you're a Pennsylvania guy, and you ended up at, you know, obviously Rowan, and then all the years here at Delaware. But then you go to Sam Houston State for about a decade, I think. Now, what is it like for you to be back here?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we have three grandchildren in Wilmington, Delaware, and you can only FaceTime with them so many times. It's like, hey, I'm Snoopy. Like, that's my grandfather's name. I'm Snoopy. Hey, Snoopy, and then they're off. So it's like you want to get here, you want to hold them and be with them. And so, like, coming back east was a big deal. My wife, we found out on her birthday that Temple and we, you know, my agent had made the deal with the contract. And I came back into the restaurant and I told her, and she started crying. Well, so she goes for an hour. And it's like, look, we're this beautiful restaurant. I know you're happy, but no one else around us knows you're happy. Like, please, can we stop crying? But she was just so excited to get back here. We built a place in Wilmington, Delaware, and we're 7 minutes from the grandchildren, and it's just great to be back in the area with so many family and friends.
Coach, I don't know if it's a contractually obligated, but I feel obligated asking a football guy, especially a local one, your opinion on Jalen Hurts. We debate the Eagles quarterback every day, as you know, on this radio station. We were discussing earlier his merits to be the NFL MVP. What's your thought on Jalen, how he's evolved as a player, and where he's at this stage of his career?
he wins, you know? And that's how quarterbacks are judged. Do they win? Obviously, there's some great pieces of the puzzle around him, but, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over. Like I said, our quarterback has thrown 21 touchdown passes and zero interceptions. I mean, that's what he does. You know, sometimes you might not like from an outsider's perspective, like he's holding the ball too long or whatever, but he doesn't turn the ball over. And, you know, in the world I live in, if you win the turnover battle by one, you win 70% of your football game. I mean, geez, if I win 70% of my football games, I'm going to get in the Hall of Fame. So not turning the ball over is a big, big deal. And I think Jalen's done a great job of managing the moments. And, again, you know, he definitely is obviously one of those considerations of MVP of the league.
Yeah, he is, and we're rooting for him. We're rooting for you guys, too. KC, we appreciate you hopping on. Have a great trip down to East Carolina. Go get that win, and we'll watch you in a bowl game. Thank you.
Thanks,
we're
Coach.
We're in the link on Saturday.
Oh, then link.
We're
okay.
The link. How about that? Well, yeah, it's a big weekend for the link. We'd love to.
Weather's going
to
clear up. We're going to be great.
Awesome. Thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.